There's the school bell. It's time to go get your school books and come back to class. And for this Warren County Radio Bible School, the school book is the Bible itself. If you will, get your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4. We're looking at Nehemiah, the bold builder, as one of the great men of the Old Testament. And we're looking in detail at Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 15. And in our last class session, we were talking about some of the enemies that Nehemiah had, who were actually the Jews' enemies that dwelt in Jerusalem. And they were there to try to hinder Nehemiah in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. So turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll begin in just a moment in Nehemiah chapter 4 and in verse 7 and continue with our studies. Now, while you're doing that with your Bible, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we are doing is studying Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam, a great preacher of many years ago. And this is a lesson that he wrote for the Sunday of June the 10th, 1923. Now let me go back and read Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7. And here we're reading about some of the enemies that the Jews had, and enemies of Nehemiah, and then his efforts to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It says in Nehemiah 4 and verse 7, "It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem went forward and that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth." Now, Sanballat was a Moabite, designated as a Horonite in Nehemiah 2 in verse 10 and Nehemiah 2 in verse 19, probably because he was from Horonaim, a town of Moab. He had, it seems, some military or civil command under Artaxerxes, who was the king of the Persians. He was a fierce adversary of Nehemiah, and from the very beginning of Nehemiah's work, he opposed every measure for the good of Jerusalem. Now, Sanballat's daughter had married a grandson of the high priest, according to Nehemiah 13:28. Tobiah was an Ammonite, but a son-in-law of Shechaniah. His son also was a son-in-law of Meshulam, Nehemiah 6:17-18. These marriages show why there was a strong faction among the Jews in favor of these men. The Ammonites were a tribe east of Jordan, and they were descendants of Lot. The Arabians were the Arabs of the desert. The Ashdodites were the city of Ashdod, a Philistine city near the Mediterranean Sea. These were all enemies of the Jews. And when they heard of Nehemiah's work, they were very wroth. It grieved them to learn that Nehemiah had come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel, Nehemiah 2 and verse 10. And so we read about prayer and ridicule. The first attack these enemies made upon the Jews in their effort to rebuild the walls was that of ridicule. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you will do? Will you rebel against the king?" Nehemiah informed them that the Jews' strength was in God, and that they had no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem, Nehemiah 2:19-20. As the work progressed, Sambalat took great indignation and mocked the Jews. "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive stones out of a heap of rubbish, seeing they are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they are building, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall." Nehemiah 4:1-3. But Nehemiah, he prayed and worked on. So we built the wall. And the wall was joined together unto half the height thereof. Nehemiah 4:4-6. That is, the breaches in the wall were all stopped. And the wall was built up all around the city to half its height. Ridicule is a most powerful weapon before which some cannot stand. When the good King Hezekiah sent men throughout both Judah and Israel, teaching and exhorting the people to come to Jerusalem and to worship, as it is written, while many repented and came, others laughed these men to scorn and mocked them. 2 Chronicles 3:10-12. Satan laughs to scorn, mocks, and ridicules all today who worship God, as it is written in the New Testament, and who seek to teach others to do the same. Such teachers and worshipers are called by ridiculous names. They're told that they cannot accomplish much, and that foxes can leap any wall, figuratively speaking, that they may attempt to build. Satan does this through human agencies, and though many who claim to be the people of God, sad and strange it is that some who are desirous of working after the New Testament order of things cannot stand this ridicule and mockery. They seem to wither under it and turn and follow the popular current. Nehemiah and his co-workers instead prayed and worked on. Let us be impressed with the fact that Nehemiah was a praying man. Let us make note of all that was stated in regard to his praying and when he prayed. Then instead of wilting under ridicule and mockery and running after the fashionable and popular ways, let us pray, rely upon God, and work on. Ridicule and mockery should make us only the stronger, and they do strengthen many now as they strengthened Nehemiah and the Jews. He who cannot endure ridicule and the contradiction of sinners against himself is unworthy of Christ. Well, after the ridicule, there was a conspiracy to resort to arms. I read from Nehemiah 4:8. And they all conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion therein. This second attack planned against the Jews by their enemies was to come upon Nehemiah and his men unawares, capture them, and stop the work. They conspired, all of them together, to come to fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion therein. Ridicule and mockery would not accomplish their purpose, and so they resorted to arms. Nehemiah 4:9. But we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Nehemiah learned of this conspiracy from the Jews who lived near those enemies and prayed to God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. The fact that Nehemiah prayed and watched should impress us. We should work now as well as pray. Nehemiah not only watched, literally, but he made every possible arrangement for defense against the enemies. We should diligently use all the means God has placed in our hands, praying earnestly all the while. In Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse 10, Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall." Well, this was one of the discouragements at home which came with the conspiracy of the enemy. Clearing away the rubbish and carrying the material for the wall and upon the wall as it became higher was no little work. In fact, it was a great and difficult work, for there were heaps of rubbish, and to remove it was an arduous task. We read in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 11, "Our adversary said, 'They shall not know neither see till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease.'" This verse shows the scheme of the Jews' adversaries. These adversaries did not intend for Nehemiah and his co-workers to know of their plan. But we read in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 12, "It came to pass, when the Jews that dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, 'Ye must return unto us.'" The Jews that dwelt by them, that is, by their adversaries, warned Nehemiah against the sudden attack. "They said unto us 10 times from all places, 'Ye must return unto us.'" It is difficult to get the meaning of this expression. The margin of the version used in preparing these lessons, the American Standard Version, says, "From all places whence ye shall return, they shall be upon us." It may mean that the scattered Jews among the enemies besought the ones at work in Jerusalem 10 times to return from the city to them, because they were the most exposed to the enemy and would be the first to suffer from the expected attack. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 13, "Therefore set I in the lowest parts of the space between the wall and the open places. I set there the peoples after their families, with their swords and their spears and their bows." Nehemiah prepared at once for the attack. Where the wall was lowest and the city most exposed to the enemy, he set people after their families with swords and their spears and their bows. He wisely placed all where they could defend their own families and could know the welfare of their own families. And he believed in that motto that our God will fight for us. He addressed them all, saying in Nehemiah 4 and verse 14, "Be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." No stronger motive to defend themselves could have been placed before them, and no stronger appeal to action could have been made. They must rely upon God and use all possible means. They could easily recall what God had done to the enemies of his people in the past. We read in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 15, "And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and that God brought all their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his work." The enemies learned that their scheme was known by the Jews, and the Jews were prepared for them and did not make the attack. God had brought their counsel to naught in the manner described above. The work on the walls was then resumed. I have no doubt that God now brings wicked schemes and counsels to naught, whether the members of the church or of others not members. Continuing this interesting lesson, let it be noted that while half of Nehemiah's servants worked on the wall, the other half carried weapons of war. In fact, they that builded on the walls and they that bear burdens laden themselves with weapons of war. Every one with one of his hands wrought the work, and with the other held his weapon. Nehemiah 4, verses 16 and 17. Every builder had his sword by his side as he worked. Those who laid the stones in the wall needed both hands for this work. but they kept their swords girded by their sides, ready for use at a moment's warning. We'll continue this class in the next session.